All right, as we pick up in lesson five. Solomon is now speaking for himself. He's put away David's material that was told to him. And in verse 1 it says, "My son, give attention to my wisdom and incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion and your lips may reserve knowledge." Solomon moves to his recounting of his father's emphasizing of his own instruction to telling Rehoboam about his own personal experience. David's experience that he's sharing is really what we would call PG. Solomon's experience as we head through it is more like XXX, because Solomon has made every mistake, and we can tell that he does not want his son Rehoboam to make that same mistake. Verse 3 says, "For the lips of the adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech." Did you catch it? Yeah. You've seen them all on TV. Somebody sashays up to a man, says, "What are you doing, honey?" The man's had a hard day. He's had an argument with his wife. And some little flirty woman with flashy eyes says, "What are you doing, honey?" And the words are just smooth as oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable. She does not know it. "Now then, my sons, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house." Solomon personally knows about the lips of adulteress. When he was just the king's son living in the royalty, he was tempted by women, I promise you, and other things in life. Not just women, but other things. You just don't have to be an adulteress with a woman. You can be adulteress with cars or with anything else that's out there that takes your focus off of where your focus should be. As the king, Solomon has been tempted in all sorts of ways by every single nation and person that has come before him, trying to work some sort of deal, trying to work something to get their way with Solomon. He has heard flattering lips over and over and over to try to lure him into some sort of evil. And after momentary pleasure, we need to understand that sweetness of the honey immediately turns to bitterness. That replaces that sweetness. And all of us here know that. All of us have sinned, and we thought we were going to enjoy that sin, and there was pleasure for a moment. And then came the realization of what we had done wrong, and it was bitter, cutting all the way to our souls. That's the reason why Solomon is saying she is a two-edged sword. That sweetness of her lips that turns to bitterness. It's sweet to begin with, and then it's bitter. It's damaging. It takes away things. Oh, she's got a lot to lose, but he's got a lot to lose too. Rehoboam, Solomon's son, and the other kingdoms. Solomon is saying, stay away from women like this. The wise person stays on the path. They don't get off to go follow her evil ways. She will entice sinful thoughts and passions. That's what happens. It happens all around us. Picking up now in verse 9, it says, "Lest you give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one, lest strangers be filled with your strength and your hard-earned goods," just call that money, "go to the house of an alien and you groan at your latter end. When your flesh and your body are consumed and you say, 'How I have hated instruction and my heart spurned reproof, and I have not listened to the voice of my teachers nor inclined my heart to my instructors. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and the congregation.'" Let me start the last verse first. Solomon knows what this is like. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1 through 10, Solomon tells us of all the mistakes that he made through his early reign as king, actually his first 30 years as king. And not until he becomes older does he realize his mistakes. And by the way, by the time he's about to die, he's almost senile because of the way he's treating people, the way he treated Jeroboam and some of the others, where they had to run from him because he was trying to kill them, to keep them from taking over the kingdom. The adulteress, now we'll go back to the beginning of that passage. The adulterous woman is going to lose her soul to evil. But the young man is going to be tempted and he's going to lose some things too. I cannot tell you how many people I know that are and been in the churches and come through my office that because of an adulterous relationship, they not only have lost their families and divorced, they've lost money. Divorces are not cheap. The lawyers get money. The wife gets money. The new husband of the wife gets to spend your money. That's what he says here. He says, your hard-earned goods goes to the alien. The alien, the one you don't even know, the one she's running around with. Because you ran around on her, she started running around on you. And lo and behold, before the divorce is even over, she's found somebody else to marry. She's divorced and she's married. And all that money and everything she got from you is being spent by the husband. The Lord sees all this and he detests it. He detests the sin of adultery. He detests it. They realize, Solomon says, you're going to realize when all this happens to you that you should have listened to the warnings. You should have taken the instruction. Oh, but no, you hated the instruction. Oh, you hated the reproof. Oh, you hated the truth and the wisdom and the understanding that was being told to you by your father. You hated it. You didn't listen. And then finally, when it's all over and said and done, and you've used your mouth and said things you shouldn't have said, and you've done things that you shouldn't have done, you say to yourself, things would have been different if I've only listened to my father and learned from what my father said and acted accordingly. Now, every one of us in this room have said that before. If I had only listened to what they told me. Yep. You get you a daughter that's 16, 17, 18, 14, 13, son that's 15, whatever. Did you know that you're the dumbest parent in the world? Did y'all know that? You're dumb. You're stupid. About 35 to 37 to 40, all of a sudden, man, you got smart all of a sudden. I mean, talk about not you 45 or something, your kids turning 45. I mean, you're way on up there then. I mean, you're close to the age of the Dead Sea by the time they realize, you know. Some of us were born when the Dead Sea was still sick, you know. Verse 15, he says, drink water from your own cistern. Solomon is saying to Rehoboam, this is profound. Solomon says, drink water from your own cistern and fresh water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? Should you go and spread your water around every place or should you just keep it at home? Let them be yours alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Oh, there it is. Oh, watch out for the next line. As a loving hind and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love. Now, we can only speculate on the age of Solomon at this point in time. But it hadn't taken him very long because we know he's at least 65. He may not have all 700 wives and all 300 concubines. But I guarantee you, when he said this to Rehoboam, he made 699 of his wives mad and 300 concubines mad because he's saying, I want you to remember your first wife. I want you to remember the love of your first wife. Don't spread your love or what you call affection or anything you have to anybody but your first wife. Stay at home. Let her breast satisfy you and not the breast of some alien that you're going to go to. Someone you don't know. Do not let some hoosie-floosie out there flicker her eyes at you and cause you to go down because of her honey dripping off her lips and the sweet oil of her words. Do not go in that direction. Don't keep your path straight. Stay on the straight and narrow. The book of Proverbs is going to be compiled after Solomon's death. But surely this is being delivered way before Solomon dies. And he's been delivered. We don't know how old Rehoboam is. Perhaps Rehoboam is fixing to get married. Perhaps he's already married. Perhaps he's already messed up his first time in his marriage. And Solomon's saying, son, son. Love your first wife. That is your cistern. That is where you spread the waters. You don't spread it anyplace else. Triple X. Verse 20. For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. His own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of his sin. He will die for a lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he will go astray. Perhaps Solomon has given this instruction to Rehoboam just before he's married. Perhaps it's right after he's married. Perhaps he's setting Rehoboam down to say, okay, Rehoboam, I've heard about what you did with that little floozy, that adulteress, and I need to tell you something. You got to straighten up. You need to understand something. You go out and do all of that. You need to understand that wherever you go and whatever you do, the Lord is watching you. He sees everything you do. Rehoboam, whatever you do, do good for all. Be satisfied with the wife, the young wife, the first wife. Gaze on no other. Let your wife see your reverence for the Lord. Let your children of your wife be numerous. Love your wife. Let her breast satisfy you and satisfy no other. You should understand that the acts, all of your acts, whether they are public or whether they are private, are all seen by the Lord. He knows what you do in your secret places. You can run, but you cannot hide from the Lord. Now, most people think that they can give up their sin and straighten everything out. They can walk away from their addictions at any time, under any condition, if they want to. But that is not true. Those sins linger around. The cords of those sins you say, I can snap those cords. I can cut those ropes. They linger around to entrap you again. You know what it's like for those of you who go fishing. You go fishing. That line eventually has been gone out and been brought back in so much it doesn't come back in on right. Next thing you know, you got this whole pile of mess. And you got a fish on your line. So you bring it in and you get the fish and you cut the line and you want to get that hook back out there into the water. And so you let that fishing line go down. And you know what's fixing to happen to your feet? You're going to step in it. It's just made that way. It has a magnet that goes feet. And you're going to trip. Those cords of your sin are going to be there to come back to ensnare you again. Sin brings forth sin. And even the sin that you have shunned in this life is going to linger around to endanger you again. So, you can be bound by your own cords of sin that you have cut off, and you can be led back into evil unless you take the wisdom and the understanding that you have learned, the wisdom that you have learned to cut those cords and get rid of them. You must follow on that path and you must stay straight. Without wisdom, without understanding, you will die in your sin. Wisdom and understanding cannot be dispensed with. You cannot say, I know that's what's right, but right now this will probably be okay. It's never okay. The lack of accepting what wisdom and understanding have taught you will lead you to folly as you will go astray. Now, you may think, hey, I'm almost 80 years old. I don't need to learn anything else. Foolishness. You need to learn every day because something's going to come out of your heart to deal with somebody else who needs to hear what you have to say. You should be learning about the Lord every single day. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time just to study your word and to follow you and to learn wisdom and understanding from the things you've shared with us in your holy word. Lord, we love you. In your son's name, amen. And amen.